What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
98.5 Sunshine FM, one of the world's leading authorities on Christian education, author and international education consultant David Smith, has been described as a gifted, passionate, insightful and challenging speaker. David will be in Perth for the one-day Christian Education National State Conference, reimagining the Christian classroom, on Monday the 20th of July at Swan Christian College. He'll also be speaking at a couple of parent evenings, Saturday the 18th of July, Foundation Christian College in Greenfields, and Tuesday the 21st of July at Kingsway Christian College in Darche. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
I guess there's a bit of a tension when people are thinking of how to school their children, because they want their children to understand their faith, but at the same time, is there that tension of putting someone through a Christian education and them losing that wonder and that awe of God?
Well, there certainly can be, and in a sense, that's one of the problems that we're wrestling with in Christian education. There's something about schools that seems to manage to take the wonder out of a lot of things as kids grow older. You know, you don't have to tell 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds to learn and to be interested in things, but it seems as you move up through the school system, we succeed in turning a lot of things into disconnected facts and drudgery. So if Christian education means taking the Christian faith and subjecting it to the same model, then there's something to that. The challenge is whether we can actually arrive at a form of Christian education that keeps the excitement, where faith is more like the frame out of which you go explore the world that God made in all its complexity, where it can keep that kind of excitement and developing edge, then maybe you can see it more like a springboard, more like a launching platform.
So there is that tension there, and that's something that obviously you're working towards, which is why you're spending a lot of time continuing to delve into Christian education rather than saying, okay, we've got the perfect model, let's move forward. You're continuing to try and find better ways to reach out our young people with the education they need about themselves, about their world, and definitely about God.
Yeah, well, there's certainly no room for resting with the models that we've got. I mean, I'll give you a quick example of the kind of things that we need to attend to. My son comes home a couple of years ago from his religion class at school. Great class, great teacher, really exciting teacher, doing a lot of cool things with the kids. Christian school, and he's got homework. And what he's got is he's got a worksheet, and it's got a list of about 10 or 12 theological concepts on it. You know, justification, sanctification, kingdom of God, all good stuff. And he says to me, will you help me study for the test? So I said, sure. And I sat down and I started asking him hard questions to see if he could use these in sentences and to see if he could tell stories about them and see if he could think of biblical examples and so on. And after literally about 3 minutes of this, he threw the sheet of paper down on the table and he said, but I don't need to understand them that well. Now, I've told this story to a lot of teachers, and the scary thing is they all know what he said next. He said, I don't need to understand them that well because on the test, they're only going to make me match them with the definitions. And he's actually dead right, because a matching test, where you just give a student a word and you say which paragraph matches with this word, it doesn't test understanding at all. You could have the whole worksheet in Greek, and all you've got to do is memorize the first three characters of each word and the first three characters of each definition. You'll get 100%. So I think my son's right. If that's the nature of the test, he doesn't need to understand them well. Now, I know his teacher didn't walk into class that morning with a lesson plan that said, today I'm going to teach my students that they don't need to understand theology. But because she hadn't thought through carefully enough what the test was teaching the students about the learning process, that was what happened. So what we've got to get better at is thinking through the way all the learning processes, not just the noble statements of aims and the textbook content and so on, but the actual processes we put kids through, that they genuinely reflect the kinds of spiritual and moral goals that we've got for kids and don't become the very thing that actually turns them off from what we're trying to teach them.
I suppose a class of religion or theology is one thing, and we would expect that in a Christian school, but how do we then have God being a part of everything? We don't want it just to be a tack on where we talk about maths and then we say, and God created numbers and a system and that's it. We don't want God to be an add-on. How does God become a central part of that education?
Right. Well, math is a great example because that's always perceived as like the hardest one, because, you know, there isn't a Christian answer to 2 + 2 = 4. And you see a lot of kind of, you know, frankly, quite embarrassing attempts at Christian math education. Sometimes it amounts to sticking a Bible verse on the top of a page of sums. And sometimes, like you say, it's given a little talk on day one about how God made numbers. And then after that, we pretty much follow the standard plan. But consider these three classrooms, right? Classroom number one. math is taught entirely as an abstract set of processes. So you just get, you know, sums laid out on the page, the numbers are there, you manipulate the numbers in certain ways. If you do the right manipulation, you get the answer out the end. That's pretty much how I learned math when I was in school. I was actually pretty good at it, but I didn't have a clue what it was for or what you could do with it. So classroom number two, maybe reacting to that, they say, well, let's put it in the real world, let's make it relevant. But their conception of the real world is pretty much a world where life consists of buying and selling things. So it turns out that most of the examples that you use are all about calculating your mortgage payments or calculating your car loan payments or doing surveys about how many kids wear Nike and how many wear Puma and how many wear Adidas. In other words, you end up with a curriculum that's very focused on consumer behavior and pretty much reflects a materialistic consumer culture. Or take classroom number three. We actually had a project here at the Kyers Institute where I work at Calvin College, where we've got a team of teachers together and we said design some math units that are spiritually and morally challenging, that are still really math teaching, and that don't just add Bible verses to the sums. Well, one of the units they came up with was all about the tsunami in Thailand in 2004, where there was this huge catastrophe, right, and a lot of people died, lost their homes, and so on. The first part of the unit is all about the mathematics of wave formation. How do you describe the motion of a wave mathematically, and can you predict it? Can you know when these things are coming? Should we have known when this was coming? And it gets students to reflect on that. How much control do we have over natural disasters? The second part of the unit then goes into the mathematics of aid. So you've got people scattered across an irregularly shaped terrain, and you've got a helicopter with a limited amount of fuel, and you've only got 4 hours of daylight, and you want to get food to as many of them as you can. How do you calculate the shortest path? Or you want to drop food to them from your helicopter. How do you calculate how high you can drop the food from without destroying it? So what that kind of unit does is it doesn't mean you're talking about God directly in between every math problem, but it puts math back into a context where our reason for being in the world is to care, to engage with suffering where there is suffering, to serve, and helping students to see that math is very much entwined in those things. It's not just an abstract process, and it's not just something to help you buy more consumer goods.
When you were talking there about classroom two and sending people out supposedly into the real world and the buying and selling, and that's generally what a lot of people would understand as being the real world, there is, again, that tension that some people have when they say, do I put my child through Christian education or through the public system? Because, you know, aren't we meant to be in the world? Is a Christian school really going to prepare my child? Because they're in this wonderful cocoon, so to speak, of this Christian education. They come out at the end and they strike what we label as the real world.
Well, again, it's possible for a Christian school to function like a cocoon, to just be a kind of place to escape from life and make sure that your kids don't bump into any kids that you don't like. If that's the case, then maybe that Christian school needs to look at its educational model a little more closely. Some of the Christian schools that I know that are doing a really good job are schools where they're not withdrawing from the world, they're not running away, they're not failing to ask hard questions, they're not failing to confront students with what's going on in the society around them. In fact, quite the opposite. They're asking students to face up to the real world around them, but to do so in a Christian way, and to begin to learn in a Christian community to think in Christian ways, to serve in Christian ways, to address issues in Christian ways. My hope is out of that kind of model, if it's done well, and as I say, it's not universally done well, but the hope is it can be done well, is that students actually come out much better prepared to be effective in the world, rather than, of course, the opposite danger, which is that kids spend their schooling pretty much being conformed to the pattern of the society around them, and come out having spent a lot of time in the world, but not being particularly distinctive, and not having anything particularly distinctive to say to the situations that they walk into.
David, you're coming to Perth to speak at a Christian Education National State Conference, and the title, Reimagining the Christian Classroom. You're wanting to get teachers and all school staff along to that particular conference. What are people going along to that conference going to hear that they perhaps haven't heard before? Because there is this tendency to think, oh, I went to the state conference, or I went to a seminar last time, and I think I pretty much know what they're going to say. What are you going to bring that's going to really spark people to go back into the classroom and make a difference?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've been going to Christian education conferences for 20 years, and I'm pretty sick of them myself. So I think the focus this time is going to be, my sense from many years of going to these things is that often in Christian education, we've been very good at talking about big, noble goals. I've sometimes felt like there must be a hidden verse somewhere in the New Testament that says, where two or three Christian educators are gathered together, they'll write a mission statement. and then we've also done a certain amount of work on sort of, you know, trying to make Christian textbooks and Christian worksheets and so on. what it seems to me we haven't been real good at talking about is actually the most urgent question that faces teachers when they walk into the classroom, which is, how am I actually going to teach? What's the process here? What's the actual, you know, pedagogy, to use a more educational term? What's the teaching process that I'm going to use with these kids that are sitting in front of me that's going to help them grow in all the ways that I want them to grow? You know, like the testing example that I gave you earlier. So the main focus at this conference is going to be on how do we connect our faith to the how, to the actual processes that we put kids through, the ways that we put classrooms together. And let's not rest content with talking about the big noble goals and having sort of in principle arguments about, you know, philosophically, do we want Christian schools or do we not want Christian schools? Let's look at how you actually teach 12-year-olds on a Monday morning.
You're also going to be talking to parents at a couple of parent evenings. We as parents, how much of an input can we really have in our kids' classroom experience, in our kids' education? Should we be a bit more hands-on?
Definitely, yeah. Parental involvement is absolutely crucial. I mean, there's an awful lot of research that basically suggests that, you know, parental involvement in their kids' lives is just one of the major factors in how successful they are in their learning. Teachers can't do it on their own and are not necessarily the primary influence in a kid's life. But beyond that, it's parents who need to hold teachers accountable and hold schools accountable and get involved in the discussion of what kind of education the school needs to be offering. I think parents also need to be examining their own motives. You know, parents too can sometimes be the people who really mainly just want a protective environment for their own child, rather than thinking through what the mission might be and how they can help commit themselves and their family to the realization of the mission for the whole school community. So those are some of the things that I'm going to be hoping to talk about with parents is how can they get involved and also what kind of vision should they bring to that involvement? What would be the most productive, fruitful way of them interacting with the school?
Well, David, we're looking forward to having you come here to Perth and to be a part of that seminar, the one-day conference, as well as those teaching sessions with the parents. If you'd like to find out more about those conferences, you can go to the website cen.edu.au. And thank you for spending some time with us here on 98.5 Sunshine FM today.
Thank you for giving me time to talk with you.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.